Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.
Good afternoon to you, Andrew Banda.
Good afternoon, Brother Zama. How are you?
Very well, my brother. How are you doing?
I am doing well. I thought you'd be playing Jasper C as I was being introduced.
Well, we're doing the Gay the Vocal Band this afternoon. Well, had we known, we definitely would have done that for you. Now, we're going to be talking about extracurricular activities. And the question this afternoon is, should extracurricular activities be compulsory? And, you know, these activities like clubs and sports are very important to the overall development of their students, encouraging them to play and stay active and social. But how beneficial are they really? Should they be compulsory? That's the question this afternoon. So, Andrew, what does it? What is even the point of extra curricular activities at school?
Thank you for having me once again. It's good to be back. I know I've been out for some time. Extracurricular, to answer your question before I qualify it, I'll say yes, it should be compulsory or mandatory. Mm. Now, what benefits then does it come with? Mm. So the benefits are many. I'll mention two in brackets. Mm-hmm. One of them is growth. And when I say growth, I mean personal growth.
I see.
Mm-hmm. As you know, with extracurricular activities, it gives every child an opportunity to grow skills. It mm-hmm. could be talent. As you know, you are dealing with activities out of the normal classroom experience. Mm-hmm. So a child gets a chance now to just grow in social skills. It could be their risk, appetite, you know, making decisions, they'll grow. So there's growth. That's number one. Mm. That's very important. As you know, every living thing needs to grow.
Yes.
So, yeah. So extracurricular one promotes growth in the different facets. Mm. And as you mature, another one, which is very important for our children, this generation, is relationships.
Okay.
In a world of technology, relationships are dying, you know, social skills. So this gives children an opportunity to also just build bonds, learn to teamwork with other learners in whatever activity it is. It could be sports, it could be art, it could be a theater, it could be photography, but the point is the children or these learners get to build relationships. They begin to trust others. And also they learn the power of relationships, in that what you lack, somebody else might cover up for
you.
So you learn to appreciate the differences. The third one that I would talk about is also the spiritual and emotional well-being. Mm. You know, extracurricular, and I know this one is not so talked about. It helps you discover who you are, and the more you discover who you are, the more your emotional stability or well-being is being founded and being groomed. Mm. So when I bring the spiritual aspect, I'm simply saying, look, with these activities, it gives a person inner peace. It gives a person fulfillment. You know, when I remember we're in school, if you run a race and maybe you do a relay and you win, you know, your effort at least counts for something. If you lose, at least it gives you an edge to work extra. So I wanted to bring this part of life, that it also helps us with our spiritual and emotional well-being, which is very important. Now, just to close up the first question that you've asked, I want to say that extracurricular are important. And why are they important, especially in the current world, is it helps children also learn how to focus. Yeah, in a digital space, trust me, statistics are showing we have research that is showing that, you know, the attention span of the current generation is very low.
Yeah.
And that is why I find...
Yeah.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, no, it's fine. You just finish your thought.
Yeah, my thought was that's why you find that curriculums are being changed in just to make sure that we accommodate the current minds. But with extracurricular, if you play football for 90 minutes, it will never change to 50 minutes. You still have to focus for that duration, you know? So it also helps children learn the skill of just being able to focus and help the attention span. Over to you.
Yeah, well, you've mentioned quite a bit about, you know, the importance and why it should be done. Perhaps those who are making some arguments against the co-curricular, extracurricular activities, to make them compulsory, what would some of those be, if you know?
What would those be? I'm thinking maybe health reasons. There could be some parents, in practically in school, some parents will not allow their kids to be in certain activities because of health reasons. Others may be religious, but I think why most of the people would object is because of the view that we have when we say extracurricular. We are so limited in what we call extracurricular. And mostly it's just everything to do with the ball, and maybe others will talk of theater. But, you know, extracurricular in this current world, even broadcasting itself, it could be you could have a club in a school that Brother Zama mentors of the next generation of presenters, you know. You could have people do photography. And coming from the Olympics, one of the things that I would want to edge our people that may be disputing is, if you look at the most successful countries at the Olympics in all disciplines, you will discover that they have a strong extracurricular system in their schooling system.
Yeah.
And they're deliberate about it from primary to university. And that is why you find that they succeed. So for those that might have a different view, maybe it could be that maybe they had a bad experience themselves as parents when they're in school. The only one that I can fall on is maybe on health reasons because of a child. But a child who cannot run can do theater, you know?
There's always something to do.
Exactly, can do computer graphic design or photography. So it's still helpful.
Now, one may argue that... what's the point of all of this if when you go to university, what is looked at strictly are your marks for matric exams, and whatever that you did extracurricular is of no consequence to your university entrance? What do we say there?
Okay, that's a fair argument. And I understand where it's coming from, because usually our education system, maybe in this part of the world, is not integrated so much that maybe a child can even get a scholarship to university based on their skills of running or playing basketball, playing football. So we're still to get there. But one of the things that I want to promote or mention is that, you know, these extracurricular activities, one of the things that they will give in a child or anyone is resilience, you know. And if you look at our fathers and the adults of today compared to the youths of today, you find that one of the things that is missing is resilience because of the change of time. So those I'll simply say, look, you want your child to have resilience in life, dealing with life situations or issues. Those are things that they will learn from there. Even when you're not around, at least your child will have a skill of being resilient and they'll develop it over time. It's a muscle, you know. Because life has got ups and downs. So you want this child or this person to be groomed, and as you know, to be groomed holistically for each harmony. You know, that is all essence of education, as Sister White puts it, holistic. You know, you're looking at the mental, the physical, the emotional, the spiritual. So when I say for each harmony, we are training the heart. We are training the hands. We are training health, and we are also training there. So everything is being trained holistically in the 4-H aspect. So to those that might argue, they need to understand that beyond just running, maybe it was running at the time, in the current systems, we want to promote healthy children above all. We can't go and dispute science. A healthy body produces healthy results, you know. So we also want to reduce on diseases, that these non-communicable diseases that young people are having. So we want a healthy society. A healthy nation is based on a healthy people. So let them try it, and let it not be narrow. Maybe to us school administrators and educators, maybe we should not narrow it to just ball games. You know, it's a whole range of activities that can help it. So even music itself. And if I mentioned to you, Brother Zama, did you know that work experience is also extracurricular activity? If you're in your year 10, year 11, schools can be deliberate and expose some of these children to some work experience, because it helps them also make up their career choices much earlier. So we have to think of it that way.
Wow, quite interesting. Now, Andrew, before I let you go, man, you know, if there are these extra curricular activities, normally they happen after school. So the school is finished and the children go to the fields, and there's music, there's all sorts of, you know, swimming, soccer, etc., etc. And you're saying that they help build resilience and all of those things. And I'm thinking here, if really there's so much good, why can't they become part of a standard, syllabus, so that even when they go to varsity, it could then be a consideration to say, how good was this child at extracurricular activities? Because it seems as though that when they go to varsity, none of that matters. Would they just want to see the marks? Do you have 80 and above or 70 and above? Come, you're coming in. And none whatsoever about your extracurricular. Now, I'm saying, if it's so important, why can't we just make it as part of the standard syllabus then?
What you've described is the flaw in our curriculum or schooling systems in that part of our world, and that should be the goal. I always advocate for that, because I remember there were guys in school or learners who were brilliant with sports. They were brilliant in art or theater, and as you're mentioning, we are most biased towards academic. It's just a grade. What did you score in this? And so those are kind of left out, especially after they finish their year 12 or 11 after their matric. So this is what we are fighting for, because we're looking at a competent-based curriculum. This is what we should promote. If Brother Zama is good with music from high school, we should start grooming his career from high school. And his entering into Stellenbosch University or any university in the world should be based, or just in South Africa or in Zambia, where I am. The fact that he is good in this area should also work for him. And this is being inclusive, not just focusing on the academic pathway or those academic students. So this is what we have failed many of our people. So you find that we let go of any skill away from the academic, and it is important. Why are we failing? Is because maybe you and I never grew up in a time where that was a thing that would take somebody to university. Yeah. And I'm sure you knew someone who could run very well, but if you bring them and give them some chemistry or physics, they'll struggle.
True.
So meaning, yes. So like I mentioned earlier, societies, like if you go to America, Britain, why these countries will thrive maybe in sports, like the Olympics, as I mentioned earlier, is because their schooling system is integrated. So if a child is very good with basketball, they have their own grading system where they're taught, say, you don't need to get a distinction to even get into university because you are gifted in this area.
Yeah.
So you have a bare minimum of just getting a B or a C, so that the child, their strength is not the physics, their strength is the sport aspect. So it should be inclusive. And going forward, I would strongly advocate for that. If it's music, because we look, we have gifts that people are born with.
Yeah.
We have the interests that children have. So we should focus more on those. And I believe we will have a better society and less frustrated people, as we've had in the previous generations.
Mm.
You know, you go into a career because your family just said, look, you got all A's at year 12, so you should be a doctor. When in fact this child wants to do music and he becomes a doctor, a frustrated doctor who's not in tune with career pathway. So that is a natural, that I would admit, that is where we have really lagged behind.
Mm.
And if there's anybody who's listening, who's in the authorities, or we should have more conversations around this, is that we should have a competence-based society.
True.
Even in our schooling.
True.
Those that we see are good in art, somebody should be helped from the high school. Their work should gain them an entry into university. You know, it's very possible. And as Africans, I believe that where we can compete at any international event in any discipline, because it's starting from the entire schooling system, is intertwined to promote those that have these skills. That would be my submission.
Mm. Yeah, very important. And I'd like a day, because I do know that in other countries they do this, but that when a child excels in a particular field, whether it's football or basketball or whatever, and they're really doing exceptionally well there, they normally would then get a scholarship, and they would be forced to do well as well in their academics. So the academics is attached to what how they're doing on the field, and should that fall off, should the academics rather fall behind, then the scholarship also then drops as a result. So perhaps, you know, some creative things like that, and I think this should have been implemented a long time ago, because these are old strategies.
And there's that picture I think I've seen online as a meme, where you have an elephant, a monkey, a lion, a giraffe, and you tell them to climb a tree, in describing our system, which is not really a fair description.
Yes,
because a monkey will easily. So we need to find, or we need to develop our curriculums that promote all these different facets of a learner, and that's what we need. Trust me, we'll have a much happier society, a much more productive society, because people will be doing what they love. Mm. And we'll be able to identify talent at a much younger age.
Mm. Beautiful. Well, Andrew Amasa, thank you so much for coming through and engaging with us this afternoon. Very interesting subject, actually. And those of you who are listening and are educators or part of the decision-making bodies in education, please do make sure that you take this forward. Andrew Banda, always a pleasure to speak to you.
Thank you, Brother Zama. Remember, your health is your wealth. So let the children have the extracurricular activity.
Beautiful. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Adventist World Radio, from broadcast to baptism, powered by SID Media.